The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Oikos, right? That's what we are considering so far. So oikos, the house of God. Oikos is a Greek word that means the house of God. And yesterday we came to the point where we began to see that every house that God has ever built, or that has ever been built for God rather, had its own glory. And those glory, that the glory of those buildings came with tangible manifestations, tangible expressions. If you read your Bible, you'll find out wherever the glory came, there were manifestations, there were expressions. Okay? Things you could see, things you could touch, things you could feel. For instance, when the glory of God came, okay, when Solomon built his temple, the Bible tells us that the priest could not minister in there. It was tangible. It was so real that even if you are not a saved person, if you come there, you will know that something supernatural is happening here. Are you getting the point? The Bible tells us, you know, many times, whenever the glory showed up, when Jacob came in contact with the glory of God at Bethel, the Bible tells us he saw a ladder. It was so real to him that he said, this is the house of God. And we saw yesterday that we as God's temples, we house the glory of God. And by that statement, we mean that Jesus lives in us. Because we saw yesterday that Jesus is the glory of God. Remember, we saw that? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. You know, makes that very, very clear. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 3. Come, we have to be fast. I don't have time this evening. Hebrew 1 and verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image, okay, of his person. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. New Living Translation puts it this way. The sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. So if you're looking for the glory of God, you find that glory in the person of Jesus. So Jesus is God's glory revealed. And so when we're talking about the fact that we house the glory of God, we are actually saying that Jesus lives in us. So actually, like I said yesterday, there is no teaching and there should be no teaching on how to get the glory of God. We can't teach believers that, because the believer already houses the glory of God. If there's any teaching on how to get the glory of God, that should actually be a teaching on how to be born again. I get what I'm saying? Because being born again opens you up for the real glory of the Father to come and live inside of you. And we're looking at all of this because if in the Old Testament, when the glory of God came in those temples, there were tangible expressions. Now that the real glory of God lives in us, there should be more expressions with us. There should be more manifestations with us. In other words, it should be normal that where the believer appears, there should be miracles. When the believer appears, there should be signs and wonders. John tells us, chapter 2 and verse 11, that when Jesus, you know, turned that water to wine, that was a manifestation of his glory. Bible says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. So miracles are not the glory of God. But miracles are a manifestation of the glory of God. What that means is that wherever the glory of God is, as he lives in us, we should manifest miracles. Miracles will happen with us. Amen. And I close yesterday by letting you see that for every believer, there should be a passion in your heart. There should be something burning in your heart that wants to, you know, demonstrate the supernatural. Because I showed you the plan of God in Isaiah 60 and verse 2, is that everybody will see the glory of God in your life. He said, his glory shall be seen upon you. And like I showed you, that's not cars. That's not money. That's not fine clothes. That's not about your degree. It's about tangible expressions of the glory of God. It's about signs. It's about wonders. See, it's my desire that in my own days, that the glory of God shall be seen upon me. And that should be your desire. And so what I'll be taking you through in these next few days is actually how to flow, how to demonstrate, how to fully manifest that glory of God. Signs and wonders, how to display His glory. And I would like to start by letting you see that God's glory in us is expressed in the gifts of the Spirit. One of the major ways we manifest the glory of God is by manifesting and expressing and flowing in spiritual things, in the gifts of the Spirit. As we flow in these gifts, what are we doing? We are manifesting the glory of God. As we flow in these gifts, we are manifesting the glory of God. So you actually cannot claim to be a believer that houses God, and yet you're not able to flow in these spiritual things. So as we flow in these gifts, what we are doing is that we are manifesting the glory of God. So I'm going to take you through its teaching and show you a few things on how to flow in the gift of the Spirit, how to manifest, how to let the world see this supernatural happenings in you and through you. Are you following me? Are you following me? So we're going to look at all of these things. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just do a little foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are 9 of them. Start from, go to verse 6, or verse 8 actually, that's where it started from. I'll come to all of these later, but let's start from verse 8. Now, let's list them. For to one is given by the Spirit, what? What's the first one? Word of wisdom. Next, word of knowledge. Next, faith. Next, gifts of healings. Next, working of miracles. Glory to God. So I'm your teacher for today. Next, prophecy. Next, discerning of spirits. Glory to God. Then it's many, should be many too. Tongues and interpretation. Glory to God. Amen. You know, you should have this thing in your head. It's not what are the 9 gifts of the Spirit, say drama. Now, I've ever said a lot of crazy things. Those 9 gifts, say number 1, drama, number 2, music. Like me, I'm gifted to sing. It's a gift of the Spirit. No, sir. These are the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And we're going to look at all of these as we progress. To be able to, for easy understanding, you see, Bible scholars, and I agree with that, have been able to classify these things into 3. And I always do this whenever I teach on this, to come down to the basics, and nobody will say, I don't know where you're coming from. Divided these gifts into 3. So that is what we call utterance gifts. And I'm going to explain it. There's what we call revelation gift. And that is power gift. Utterance gift. Revelation. Utterance gift. The word utterance, of course, it means to utter something. So it is the gift that speaks. Are you still here? Revelation is to just like what revelation, to know something. It is the gift that knows. Power. The third one. Power gift. Power is to do something. So there is utterance gift, revelation, and power gift. Word of wisdom is revelation gift. I will explain that later. Word of knowledge is revelation gift. Faith is what? Faith is power gift. I'm going to look at all of that later. Healing is what? Working of miracles. Glory to God. Prophecy or trance. Because you say something. The zen of spirit, revelation, tongues, utterance, glory to God, and interpretation, the same thing, utterance. So these are the gifts. So we classify them. Another way you can call, another word you can use for utterance, for instance, they are vocal gifts. vocal gifts that demand that you say something. So tongues, you are saying. Interpretation is saying something and all of that. Amen. Now, these are different ways through which the Spirit of God expresses himself through the believer. So when we say manifest the glory of God, all we are trying to say is demonstrate these abilities of the Spirit inside of you. You meet a sick person, you flow in the gift of healing. That's the glory of God in expression. You get the point? You meet a paralyzed person, you raise the person, working of miracles, that's the glory of God in expression. Are you what I'm saying? You meet someone that is passing through something and you give him a word of prophecy, that's the glory of God in expression. So as you flow in these gifts, you're expressing the glory of God. Let me say something that is very important for someone that is new here. The gifts of the Spirit are not special things that God gives to some selected Christians. Please, they're not. It's not like God picks some special Christians to say, I'm going to give this one specially while others will not have it. So maybe you say, Pastor Henry, I see you can heal the sick. That's because you are Pastor Henry. That's not actually correct. The gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 tells us that manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many people? Every man. Please look at that. It's given to every man to profit without. So everybody has been given these gifts. I know that is this teaching that is very predominant in the body of Christ, where people say things like, you know, some people are given the gift of healing. Others are given the gift of working of miracles. Others are given the gift of tongues. Well, I understand what they're trying to say, but let me just help you a little. That is not entirely correct. And a simple proof is this. In Mark 16, I'll give that example, verse 17. Jesus talking. He said, these signs shall follow which people? Talk to me. Which people? Them that believe. Now, so what he's about to talk about is exclusive to believers. Every believer. What are they? In my name shall cast out devils. Cast out of devils, what gift is that? What particular gift is it? That's working of miracles, sir. It's not gift of deliverance. That's what I'm trying to make. You know, it's not about. So Jesus is clearly showing us that everyone that believes in him can cast out devils. What's the next one? They shall speak with new tongues. So he's trying to show that anyone that believes in him can speak with new tongues. Them that believe. Next verse. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You can call it working of miracles. You can call it gift of faith in oppression. Right? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So you find that Jesus says every believer can flow in these things. So it's not like there are special people. And let me even tell you one reason. And I said this when I was teaching you sometime ago on how to prophesy earlier this year. One reason why you cannot actually say some believers have this and others don't have that. If you actually study how to flow in spiritual things very well, you will find out that it's almost impossible for one gift of the Spirit to operate at a particular time, standing on its own. Should I say that again? It's almost impossible. For instance, if someone stands here and begins to prophesy, you will find out that somewhere in his prophecy, he will start giving word of knowledge. Somewhere in his prophecy, he might even start ministering healing. So you find that these gifts are interconnected, all trying to show us that it is the same Spirit that worketh out all these things. So when you read 1 Corinthians 12, I keep saying the Bible say things like, to one is giving this, to another is giving this. It's not trying to say some have and some don't have. It's simply trying to let us that sometimes when we are in Christian meetings, many of us can be giving different things to manifest at different times. But if it is whether we all have the abilities, we all do. Why? It is the same Spirit. I get the point. So I'm saying all of this to say to you that every believer can flow in these things. So you riders, you sitting down there, you can flow in word of wisdom. You can flow in word of knowledge. You can flow in the gift of faith. You can flow in the gift of healing. You can flow in the working of miracles, prophecy, all of them, tongues, you can. But this is the deception that many people are struggling with. They say, you know, speaking in tongues is not for everybody. So me, I can't speak in tongues, but me, I can do other things. No. It is given to you. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us every of them in that upper room spoke in tongues. All of them. They were 120. They all spoke in tongues. Are you following me? I'll still go to that much later now, but let me just quote some of them. In Acts 10, verse 44, Acts 2, 4, everybody spoke in tongues. Acts 10, 44, you find the same experience. Peter went to the house of Cornelius. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on which people? Talk to me. Which people? Everybody that heard Peter that day received the Holy Ghost. What was the result of that? Verse 46. What was the result of that? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. All of them. All of them. In Acts chapter 19, Paul met 12 men. Acts 19 verse 1, he met 12 men. And asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? After that conversation with them, in verse 6, he prayed for them, obviously. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And what happened to them? How many of them spoke with tongues? And they also, look, they also, so Paul prayed and all of them spoke with tongues and prophesied. All the 12 of them there. So there was nothing like the Holy Ghost saying, well, I'm not going to give all of you tongues. Some of you will take tongues, some of you will take prophecy, some of you will take healing. No. All of them spoke with tongues. All of them prophesied. Are you following me, everybody? So when we are discussing these gifts of the Spirit, they are not things that God gives to a pastor or gives to an apostle. They are things that God has made available for the believer in Christ to flow in. This is how the glory of God will be seen in us. This is how we express that glory. This is how we manifest the power of God. This is how we show forth the glory that God has put inside of us. When we meet a blind person, how do we manifest the glory there? We open the eyes, working of miracles. Are you following me, friends? So you must learn how to flow in these things. It is for all of us. It is for all of us. It is for all of us. Same reason I'm anointed. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. So we must learn. What I find in the body of Christ and what I find that doesn't make sense is the fact that if people try certain things, and we don't be like that, they try certain things and it doesn't work in quotes, they make a doctrine and a theology, a doctrine out of that experience. So you go to pray for the sick and you didn't have success, the person didn't get healed. You now form a doctrine from it. Doctrine one, not everybody can heal the sick. Doctrine two, there are levels before you're able to stop that. If you don't have your answer, go to God's word. Don't let your experience give you a doctrine. Don't let your experience form your theology. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm talking about? Don't let it happen. Just like somebody begins to pray for the friend not to die, prayed and prayed and prayed, and the friend eventually dies, and then he comes up with a doctrine, well, maybe God took him for a reason. That is allowing your experience form your theology. And that is one of the worst ways to come up, to form your standing, to come up with to address biblical issues. Because this happened, we can now conclude, no sir, God's word is the basis. Sir, have you seen people, Christians that have been born again for 10 years and not speak in tongues? Yes. So why not say nobody can speak in tongues? God's word says so. Them that believe shall speak in tongues. I know someone that is born again cannot even heal a fly. I know. But God's word says, them that believe shall lay hands on the sick. So I form my arguments based on the word of God. I feel what I'm saying. Not because anyone has had the experience or because I've had the experience or not. When I got born again, friends, before I got born again, because I was born in church, I was born into church. So before I got born again, I went to church a lot. I belonged to this fellowship. And you know, in that fellowship, a lot of people were trying to mentor us, trying to get us, even if I even got born again. So by the time I got serious with God, went on missions and came back, I was blazing out, I was on fire. I can tell you, I found that some of those ladies, who were sincere ladies, good sisters, who were trying to mentor, trying to lead fellowship, they were not even praying in tongues. I remember 1 year or so after I got born again, I was invited to minister somewhere in the meeting. I made an altar call for people that want to pray in tongues, and one of those ladies came out. You get the point? And she prayed in tongues that night, actually. Now, because she has not prayed in tongues for up to 6 or 7 years after getting born again, does not mean that is God's plan. Are you following me, friends? The gift of the Spirit has been given to all of us. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with her. So it means right there where you are, you can prophesy. Right there where you are, you can heal the sick. The major missing link sometimes is knowledge. That's why I'm doing this teaching for you. Knowledge is the major missing link. Knowledge. Many people don't know. That's why, how did Paul open up 1 Corinthians 12? He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. In other words, he's saying, I am going to teach you. If I look at you and say, well, concerning microphones, I will not have ignorance. It means I'm about to teach you about microphones. So you find out, why do people not flow in spiritual things? They are not taught. And like I said in one of those teachings, I said, even if people who are not taught suddenly stumble into spiritual flows, they will make a lot of errors with it. Are you following me? So let's begin to look at some of these things today. So let's start with utterance gifts. Let's start with utterance gifts of the Spirit. Amen. What should be ringing in your head as pastor is teaching this thing is this, our topic. What's our topic again? Oikos. What is oikos? The house of God. What should be ringing in your head as I'm teaching is, I am the house of God. And because God lives in me, I can do everything pastor is saying. Are you following what I'm talking about? Because God lives in me. Because the glory of God is in me. Because just I can do all of this. So that is utterance gifts. The three utterance gifts are speaking in tongues, that's diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. I'll try to rush through this to so that we can get into some practice this evening. Is that okay? Glory to God. So that is diverse kinds of tongues. Diverse kinds of tongues. Who of course speaking in tongues. How many of us here pray in tongues? Let me see. Okay. Glory to God. So it's a gift. What is tongues? Tongues is simply supernatural utterance given in an unknown language. Where did you get the definition from, sir? 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. That's where I got my definition from. Supernatural utterance given in an unknown language. Look at that. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So he's saying when people are speaking in tongues, no man understands them. That's why I said it's given an unknown language. By this verse, please everybody pay attention. By this verse, it's already telling you that tongues is not German. It's not Chinese. Are you getting the point? Then I saw someone doing, was it a podcast or something? You know, we are in a generation where everybody's creating content. And this guy was saying, you know, in the days of the Bible, the tongues that they spoke, they were people's languages, but now we are all talking gibberish in the number of tongues. And they were just talking, and you could see the number of likes, you could see the level of ignorance that's blanketed the earth. The Bible says, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness, the people. So it was playing out in that post. That's actually not correct. The Bible makes it very clear that when you speak in tongues, no man, it did say some people. Let me even say this to you. If tongues is people's language, there will be no need for the gift of interpretation of tongues. It simply means that if you can understand that language the person is speaking, you simply come up and translate for us. Tongues is nobody's language. Glory to God. Before you now as an Igbo man, you begin to speak, glory to God. Whatever you're speaking. It's not in both language. No man. Put up like on NLT, another translation of this. And this actually to show you, I'll read this and say what I want to say. Read this with me, everybody. Start again. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God. Since people won't be able to understand you, you'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be all. So if you're speaking in tongues and you don't even make sense out of what you're saying, it means your tongue is correct. Because it's meant to be missed. No man should be able to understand it. I feel what I'm talking about. No man understands. It's something you're saying. God understands it, but not everybody understands it. You know, something that came to my spirit very strongly this evening is the fact that I feel tongues is a unifier. I think something supernatural happened on the day of Pentecost. You know, in Genesis chapter 11, when they were building that Tower of Babel, do you remember? Something happened and their languages were separated. Different languages came out from that Tower of Babel. But on the day of Pentecost, everyone in Christ received one language. So I see the day of Pentecost as the correction of Genesis 11. You know what I'm saying? By that language that we all have received, which is the same language every one of us have received, it has fixed that error that came from Genesis 11, where different people receive different languages. So now we all can speak same language. We all in Christ. It's awful I'm talking about this evening. We all in Christ can speak same language. So tongues is not, but it's not French, it's not German, it's not Igbo, it's not English. Glory to God. Now, but I can say this all the time when I teach on this, but can somebody speak French by the Spirit? Yes, actually. Maybe there is someone sitting here who doesn't understand my language. The hand of God has come upon me mightily and I begin to speak to me in his own language. That's also, but that's not the gift of tongues. That's actually working of miracles. God can work out those things. The supernatural gift of tongues, actually, the Bible says nobody can understand it. No man understands it. Are you got what I'm saying? So it's not, go back to that 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. It's not different languages. And to prove it further, go to verse 23. Glory to God. Watch this. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, what would they say? Will they not say that you are mad? He's saying tongues does not make sense. If anybody comes and hears you speaking it, they will say that you are mad. So can I be speaking German and you say that I'm mad? No. Paul is also trying to say that tongues is not something that will make sense to anybody's natural mind. Is someone following me this evening? It will not make sense to anybody's natural mind. When they come in, they will say all of you are mad. Which one is Rakaba, Shakaraba, Talaba? And I know they're crazy. Are you what I'm saying? See verse 24. Next verse. Will they not say that you are mad? But if I prophesy, they're coming. Okay, go verse 25. I'm coming to this much later. And thus are the scriptures made manifest. Okay, we'll come to this later. We'll talk about prophecy. So he said, when someone is speaking in tongues and you're coming, the first thing that's going to come to your mind is that the person is mad. Because it doesn't make any sense. Someone is now asking, sir, what of Acts chapter 2? When the people said that when they were speaking in tongues, the whole people heard them speaking in their language. So go to Acts 2 verse 5. Let's look at that. Because this misconception I'm dealing with now is one major reason why people don't flow in the things of the Spirit. Because something is even telling them what they are speaking is not real. If it is real, why is it not sounding like German? Why is it not sounding like Chinese? Why is it not sounding like Hausa? So what are you talking gibberish? No, it's not gibberish, sir. Are you following me? They were dwelling at Jerusalem. Which people? Talk to me. Read it again. Jews, right? Please take notes. The people in Jerusalem, we are Jews. Is that clear? Out of every nation. So they were Jews, but they came from different parts of the world. But they were Jews. Is it very clear to you? They were Jews from every nation of the world. Now see verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, what was noised abroad? Of course, the believers were speaking in tongues. The multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. This way it gets a bit confusing, but watch. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue? Wherein? So they were not speaking, the language where they are coming from. They heard them speaking the language of where they were born. Now, who were they? They were Jews. Are you following me? So what actually was confusing them? You're going to find out shortly. You're not going to mention Parthians, Medes, and all of that place they came from. Verse 10. Phrygia and the rest of them. Now, verse 11. He says, Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So it tells you something. It wasn't only tongues. I'm coming to this very shortly. That was happening on the day of Pentecost. The people were speaking the wonderful works of God. So there was also interpretation going on there. I agree what I'm saying? So, Spirit was moving. Shagabat. And let me even say something. If I explain what I want to explain now. If these guys were speaking French or speaking German, you can't say they are drunk. You get the point? If you come in here and you hear me speaking a homophone now, you won't say I'm drunk. You'll be bothered that how did he learn this language? I know what I'm talking about. And they were speaking incorrectly. You meet someone speaking, where are you from? Where are you from? Gift. Where are you from? That's not where I'm from. Where are you from? Benue State is the name that Europeans gave your states. Where are you from? Thief by tribe. Get a mic for her. Glory to God. The wonderful works of God. You know, some years ago, I used to do a meeting. We used to have doxa. And in some of those doxa nights, we used to have what we call worship in mother tongue. Do you remember? We just call people out. You pick your language and you begin to praise God in your language. So it's very beautiful. So give her a mic. Praise God for a minute in your dialect. Your dialect, just praise God. Then give God, give Jesus praise. Yes.
Yes, James, woman, Wesley.
Go ahead.
Udo, show song. Una one wo.
Now, if you come in and you hear me speaking this thing, Gift is not going to say I'm mad. Her concern will be, how come? I thought you're an Igbo man. How did you learn this? Who else should I give mic now? Okay, give Ele. Because Gift pointed you, it's not me. Can I speak your dialect?
Yes, sir.
Just praise God your dialect. So you are thief, you are Igala.
Okay. Ojoki Boache, Ojoki Defo Jali. Agabaidu.
Like really? You are done. It's a lie. But you know, it's beautiful to praise God in different languages for real. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. That's not something you're going to hear me saying and you say, I'm mad. You're just going to be amazed at how he learned this. Now imagine, even in our own Igbo, there's something somebody will say. You yourself will be lost. If you know this language, you see, I'm moving. if they speak their language, even you will be confused. My God, Nsukka is good. Nothing is wrong with Nsukka. I'm not from there anyway. I'm just saying. But you know, different dialects. So it's not like that. So if you come in and hear someone speaking, you'll be like, wow, how did you learn that? So the question should have been in this verse. They should be confused about how did they learn this. They wouldn't say they are drunk. A drunk man cannot possibly begin to speak a language he has not learned. And notice they were speaking the wonderful works of God. They were not talking gibberish. So whatever made them say they were drunk was because they were making crazy utterances. But then we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. You get the point? So just like Shabaraka la brongodele brongodele barataya, the guy now speaks in Igbo. Oh, chineke idi manye bulegil. What are you guys talking rubbish and talking making sense at the same time? Now, I'm trying to show you, tongues is not anybody's language. It's a unifier. It's that language that we all can speak, no matter where you are coming from. And that's why tongues is so beautiful, because no matter your tribe, no matter whether you are Chinese, once we speak it, it's the same everywhere. It may not sound the same. But you find out a thief man can speak in tongues. And a Yoruba man will interpret it. It's the same spirit. It's a unifying language. It's the gift of God. And I tell you what, everybody has a part in this. Everybody. So if you are here, don't pray in tongues because you feel that just talking rubbish. You are not talking rubbish, sir. And let me tell you, there is a simple test. If you have ever spoken in tongues, there is a simple test to let you say you are not talking rubbish. You cannot pray in tongues for 30 minutes straight and still be the same. You must feel that stirring within you. You must feel that thing. You must know something in you must know that something you are saying something. Glory to God. Now, somebody told me one day that tongues is gibberish. I asked him, I said, can you talk gibberish non-stop for 1 hour? Glory to God. And yet, after every gibberish, you know the next gibberish to say. For 1 hour, sometimes 6 hours. I get what I'm saying. You say the gibberish will finish. Glory to God. What a blessing. It's given to all of us. It's given to all of us. That's why if you are here and you don't pray in tongues and you are born again, let me tell you a very simple thing. Because another reason why people don't pray in tongues very well is because there's always this thing that makes you feel that it happened to me. That before you start speaking in tongues, you have to lose consciousness. Did it happen to you? You wouldn't know yourself again. You will not just be saying, Yakaboro Kotobadala. Then you now wake up and say, Where am I? What did I say? There's nothing like that. Everybody that spoke in tongues in the Bible, I can run you through all of them. They spoke in tongues in their full consciousness. A perfect example I always give whenever I teach on this is that Acts chapter 2. When they were speaking in tongues, the people came in and said they were drunk. And Peter stopped to give interpretation to say they were not drunk. It means they were not unconscious. If not, how would they have heard that Peter said that they were drunk? It also goes to show that they were in control of their emotions. So when they said they were drunk, Peter was in control enough to stop. And he told others to stop. And they stopped and Peter talked. So it's not like they were carried away and they don't know themselves again. Because I've heard somebody say, a preacher actually. So all these tongues are speaking now. Somebody is bathing, he's speaking in tongues. Somebody is eating, he's speaking in tongues. Is that one tongues? The real tongues you receive when we go born again. The truth will carry you, you will not know anything. I say, no, sir. That can be your initial experience. But as you begin to grow, you should be able to know that speaking in tongues is within the will of the believer. They heard them say they were drunk. They paused that prayer in the process and addressed that matter. Peter took time to preach, explain that they were not drunk. There was the Holy Ghost in them. How come they heard? Again, let me say this to you. If praying in tongues or praying in the spirit is something that you can only do unconsciously, then there should be no instruction in the Bible to pray in the spirit. Because you cannot give me an instruction of something I don't have control over. I agree what I'm talking about here. You can't give me an instruction over something that I cannot control. If there's an instruction to pray, it means it is within, I can decide not to. So tongues is within the believer's will. So when we begin to minister to pray in tongues, you know, someone was sharing with me 2 days ago, a lady that came, her first time of coming is within this 30 days of light. So she was in my office recently, you know, 2 days ago. And I was like, do you pray in tongues? She said in a very funny way. I don't know if she's afraid to check if she's here. I said, do you pray in tongues? She said, yes, I learned it here when I came 2 days ago. I said, you learned it? I said, who taught you? She said, I don't know. I just found myself speaking it when I came here. I said, they don't used to say, I learned it. Because someone, I said, so you are, did you hear what another person was saying? I said, no. I just found you guys are just praying and I just found myself saying it. You know what I was telling you? That lady has been born again all the while. The Spirit of God was just trying to gain expression through her. She didn't fall down. She didn't roll on the floor. So the only way she can say is that she learned it. But she just found out she was saying it and she couldn't stop. There was no power move. I get the point. That's why if you are here, you don't pray in tongues. Once you begin to pray, you always sense that in come. Those that you are fighting it because somebody has told you that if you dare speak it, you go to hell. And the Holy Spirit will never forgive you. That's what they told you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's within your will. It's within your will. So you can pray in tongues. Paul was talking in 1 Corinthians 14 and he was teaching against the use of tongues in public meetings. How that is not good for a man of God to take the mic and begin to speak in tongues to his audience. Just like I carry this mic and I'm saying, you're going to be confused at the end of the day. So why did Paul teach on that? If it is not within the will of the believer to control when he should speak and when he should not speak, then there should not be for that teaching. It's within your will. You get the point? It's within your will. So if I hear you don't pray in tongues, once you begin to pray, you know something. Let me tell you, the first time I spoke in tongues, I was actually, they just explained, I was standing, I knew myself, I wasn't unconscious. I didn't fall. As a matter of fact, I began to fall down under the power of God much later in my Christian walk. That first day, nothing. How many of you have my experience? It was much later as a Christian that I can remember the first day I fell under the power of God. What? Because the first day I was standing, and the woman of God explained it very well to us. He said, once I just say you should go, God is going to give you a language. I said, yes, ma'am. And then they said, she said, the Spirit of God is here. Ah. We took off. I was so conscious. But I knew I wasn't forging this. I knew I wasn't making this up. I knew something else was bubbling within me. Glory to God. It's the gift of the Spirit. And if I take you into it, you will see, this can change your world. The Bible said, in that 1 Corinthians 14, by the time you get to verse 3 and verse 4, go to verse 3. He talks about prophecy and tongues. He said, he that prophesied, go to verse 4. Read it to everybody. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, edifieth. This is one of the ways you show forth the glory of God to God, because you get edified. One of the things that charges you up is tongues. It charges you up. You cannot have a cold day speaking in tongues. It's not possible. And it's not just what pastors say. If you want to know whether it's true or not, try it. You can't have a cold day speaking in tongues. Some of you have observed in these 10 days of light, I know you got, all of you are not faithful with the prayer watch, but to the capacity you are faithful, it has become easier to be more sensitive to spiritual things around you. It has become easier. What is happening? You're just spending time praying in tongues. That's why Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 14. Look for that verse. He said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all. I pray in tongues more than you. So this is a very bold claim. So Paul is saying, all of you Corinthian church, I pray in tongues. He was so confident. Now for a pastor to say, for somebody to say that, it means maybe 12 hours every day the guy is praying in tongues. Maybe 13 hours, maybe 15 hours. And that has to be. Because by the time you read Paul's letters, you know that the guy prays a lot. He told the Ephesian church, making mention of you always in my prayer. Philippian church, the same thing. Colossian church, the same thing. What time does he have to say all of those things? He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Go ask every great man the secret of his fluent spirituality. They will tell you, I pray in tongues a lot. All. Everyone that ever met me, took us what in his lifetime, gave the same testimony. Say, you cannot spend an hour with him without him saying, let's just pray a little. Everybody that met him. You know, was it, I told you guys, Lester Sumrall said the first day. Say, Lester Sumrall was a young minister, Lester Sumrall, ministering in a meeting, and met Sumrall Gosford. And he said, you come and visit me. He was already an old man by then. So he came into his house. Say, the first thing he noticed was that he said he was coming in with a newspaper, National Dailies. Immediately he got to it. He said, what's that in your hand? He said, National Dailies. He said, keep that out. You don't let that into my house. The guy has no other book. He doesn't have newspaper. Not, it's only Bible that is in his house. He said, he doesn't want to know what is happening in the world. He said, they entered. The next, he said, you know, before you came in, I was reading this chapter. Let me read it to you. I'm telling you. He began to read it. And he said, he read after reading a very long chapter of the Bible. He said, let us pray. After praying again, he said, you read to me. He began to read to him. He said, let us pray again. This is what he did the whole day. After they said, come back tomorrow. Glory to God. You see, the secret to so much, You read about spiritual gifts, you see how much the man flowed in the power of God. He said he prays in tongues a lot, and everybody around him will testify to the same thing. I heard a story of him attending a burial, and they were doing all this, what do they call that thing? Lying in state. And he got down and raised the man from the dead. That was spiritual gifts. So he was that crazy. Glory to God. He ministers to anything. He ministered to a horse. A horse or someone. The guy is so anointed. When he wants to, such things, you find out they pray in tongues a lot. Ask dear husband. Same thing. Same reason. They asked him one day, what secret to your long life is I pray in tongues a lot. So if we want to be people that will manifest this glory, we must maximize the use of tongues. The use of tongues. So you see, when people come up with all this doctrine of not everybody should speak in tongues, they are robbing believers of something very heavy. They are robbing you. Everybody should speak in tongues. Everybody. On the day of Pentecost, all of them, 120 of them spoke in tongues. And I like showing you that when the Bible said 120 of them, don't think it is 120 men of God. Acts 1:13 gives us an idea of the people who are involved, who are part of that 120. Now, look at the names of people who are in that upper room. He mentions Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zealots, Judas, brother of James. Continue verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with which people? The women. So there were many women. With the women. He didn't give us name, the women. He just singled out Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. So there were many women in that place. And we know there were other men there. How do you know? By the time you go further in that chapter, when it was time to pick people that would replace Judas, there were men that were picked. So there were a lot of people. So it wasn't just men of God or apostles. There were 120 people from different walks of life. And yet all of them speak with tongues. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, that when Peter was to go to Cornelius' house, get there. Cornelius invited everybody that he knew. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I said, praise God. Okay. Look at verse 24. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So Cornelius invited all his kinsmen, all his friends. Everybody, neighbors, because Peter was coming. It was this crowd that was gathered at Cornelius' house. So in verse 44, the Bible said the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them that heard him. So all of Cornelius' kinsmen, all of Cornelius' friends, all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. This is actually a very good example to follow as a Christian. He heard that Peter was coming to his house. He went to invite everybody. That's why it's wrong Christian character to come to church without inviting people to church. It's wrong. Because they love to learn from Cornelius. He wasn't even born again at the time. But just because something good was coming to his house, he said, well, I can't just partake of this alone. All of you should come. In the vision of that Cornelius had, the angel didn't say, call your kinsmen. The angel said, send for Peter. He now took the initiative and invited all his friends. Are you following me? Now, all of them, when Peter was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them. Verse 46 tells us, they all speak with tongues and magnify God. By the time we get there, they find out that magnify God too talks about the fact that they prophesied. So, I'm trying to show you, you have a part in this. You have a part in this matter. You have a part in this. Throughout the whole Bible, there was only one person in the Bible that Peter told, you have neither lot nor part in this matter. Only one person. And that's Acts chapter 8. And that man he said that to was Simon. Was it Simon? Yes. Glory to God. Let me show you. Glory to God. Acts chapter 8 verse... Because this Simon was a magician actually. And when he saw that Peter and John were ministering the Holy Ghost and all of that, he came to them and said, give me this power too. So that by the time I touch people, they can also receive the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And Peter said to him in verse 19, he said, give me power. Verse 20, Peter said, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. That word matter there is the word logos, is utterance. You get the point? Are you following me? So you have neither part nor lot in this utterance. What is referring to? They were all speaking in tongues. He said, I want it. And initially when I used to read this, I was like, how can Peter look at Simon and say, they had neither part nor lot in this matter? I thought he was a believer. But if you study further, even in history, you found out that man Simon was never born again. He was never born again. He later, because what was happening to him, look at what Peter told him. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22. That's the next verse. Repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. Verse 23. Watch this. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. Why was he bitter? He was bitter against Philip. Before Philip came to the land, he was the popular. All people were rushing towards him. You know, that's what the Bible said. He was a magician. So when Philip came in, Philip did amazing things, because what they have is fake. What they have is real. Philip worked miracles and everybody diverted to Philip. So he was just watching. So when he saw Peter and John come do a few things, he said, give me money. I want to reclaim my audience. I want to run Philip out of town. And Peter said, your heart is in bitterness. And you know the truth? History reveals this man never learned. He never learned. He found, he later went to form a heretic group called the Gnostics. It was this man that founded them. He never learned. So you see why Peter told him, you don't have part nor lot in this matter. But for you that is a believer in Christ Jesus, you have a part and lot in this matter. You have a part in this utterance matter. Tongues is for you. I get the point. Tongues is for you. So if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, today is your day. You're going to speak in tongues. And if you're filled already, flex it. Flex it everywhere. Flex it everywhere. You know, have you ever been among some friends, Christian friends, who make you feel shy to speak in tongues? Ever been anywhere like that? People that are born again, but they don't speak in tongues. If you're speaking, they're looking at you like, ah, what's wrong with you? Be bold. You have something they don't have. Speak in tongues everywhere. 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 We fought battles with it. I wish I had time. We have fought battles with this. We've broken through certain things with this thing I'm telling you. Just things will just open. It keeps you charged up spiritually. Building up yourself with your most holy faith. Praying the Holy Ghost. It builds you up. So the one that is not, that doesn't pray in tongues, is disadvantaged. But you see, the one that should be pitied the most is the one that is filled with the Holy Ghost. Can pray in tongues but doesn't pray enough. How many minutes do you pray in tongues every day? How many minutes do you pray in tongues every day? And yet you wonder why things are not working how we should work. Why you don't perceive things quickly in the spirit. You wonder why you don't get spiritual signals very quickly. You wonder why you can still be successful to make a lot of mistakes. You wonder why your spirit is not always very connected. Give it more time. Give it more time. They said about spiritual gospel, there was no hour he didn't pray in tongues for at least 15 minutes. No 1 hour every day till he died. I don't know how true that is. But that's what all his biographer said about him. Once he's awake, every 1 hour he must pray in tongues. Think of being awake for 12 hours and you pray in tongues every 1 hour. 15 minutes, every 1 hour, at least 15 minutes. For a whole 12 hours. Glory to God. That's heightened sensitivity. That's why we are doing what we are doing. That's why this whole regimen is going on through this status of light. To show you something. If you can be that sensitive that what we're doing now is every 3 hours, right? Every 3 hours, you pray in tongues, 15 minutes. Every 3 hours, 15 minutes. That will change your life. If he's not doing that already. I said you're not following. Amen. Sabo, what if I'm in class? What if I'm in the office? That's why I say 15 minutes. How many minutes? Shakarabataka. Do you know before 15 minutes is over? It doesn't take time. Before you finish logging in, it has finished. And even after this whole thing is over, have that culture. Because the whole thing is going to have a culture. Have that culture. If you're in your office, everywhere, spend time praying tongues. Spend time praying tongues. A proper Muslim prays at least 5 times every day. And if you meet them, they don't send you. No matter what is happening, they will leave that place to come pray. I'm telling you. At least 5 times. A proper Muslim. They will pray, they will wash. You understand? Now, I'm just not asking you to carry kettle. I just said, do shagala barabada barabada barabada. Some of you need to maximize some things. You are running a business. Customers are not coming. You just sit down with your shop sulking. Use the time well. You can't lose on both ends. Nobody is coming now. Shombro tokolo brakatakatakataka brakatakata. If they don't come, I pray throughout the day. So at the end of the day, you cannot lose on both ends. But what do you do? Customers are not coming. You sit down there, complain. You complain and sulk. And even, not even start complaining in your place of work, you start spending the money you don't have. Granite. Before you know, the money you don't have, you finish it. So, what's all those complaining? If not observed, when you go to a place where there are no customers, you eat everything that is passing. Then you sleep. I feel so embarrassed when I come into some shops and I find the people there sleeping. How do you do it? You not kill yourself. Use it well. Pray. Someone needs to hear that. Maybe this is word of knowledge. Maybe to someone. Pray. Use it well. I'm not saying start shouting down everywhere. As you're sitting down there, just be muttering in tongues. You can even begin to call customers to come. Tongues is for me. Utterance is for me. Glory to God. So it's given to me. So there is the gift of tongues. Then there is interpretation of tongues, as the name already is. To now take what you said in tongues and bring it to a known language. Remember, I took time to explain how tongues is not anybody's language. Interpretation is now to bring that in which you said in a language which is not anybody's own to a language where people cannot understand. So I can interpret from tongues to French, from tongues to English, from tongues to Igbo, from tongues to Yoruba. And can I say, the same way that tongues is for everybody, interpretation is also for everybody. I get the point? Everyone can interpret tongues. And whenever tongues are, to say, why do we interpret tongues? Well, we interpret tongues, hear this, when what we are praying or saying in tongues is, now remember, tongues, who are you talking to when you're speaking in tongues? Who are you talking to? God. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. When you're speaking in tongues, you're talking to God. Right? He that speaketh in unknown tongues, speaketh not unto man but unto God. So, God is your audience. But, if what I'm discussing with God has any relevance to me or to anybody that is around me, I need to bring that discussion to a known language so that other people can benefit from it. I know what I'm talking about. It's just like which two people come from the same tribe here but are not Igbos? Any? They're not like that. Okay, let's talk about all these Igbo tribes. Their language are very confusing. Have you ever heard any of these two humble people conversing? Who have you? Now, do you know you can be lost? So they're conversing their dialect is something very important. Now, if they want to bring it to that conversation, they have to come down to either the Igbo you can understand or English. If they don't want to, they continue to say what they're saying. You will be lost. And really, for real, Oscar dialect can be like that. If you didn't go around the Oscar people, if they get into it, you'll be lost. Let's share this story. I went to preach somewhere. That was Udi. I can't forget. And for family prayers. Every language has the deep part of it. Sometimes they don't speak what they want to hear at the point. I was there and I gave a word of knowledge. I said, you know, I see something in the spirit. I see this that happened in this community many years, in this family many years ago. And I spoke it in English, spoke it in Igbo, explained. Everybody there said nothing like that happened. I said, but I know what I'm seeing. Look at what I do. They said, nothing like that happened. And one of them said, let's ask this woman, a very old woman. I was like, you should not hear what I'm saying. They said, no. So then I asked her in their dialect. She said, yes. And she began to tell them the story. I sat down there lost. A lot of them were saying, yes. So you won't believe they spoke Igbo, but they interpreted to me in Igbo too. So when I said, okay, what did she say? They now told me. Because if they wanted to keep me out of that conversation, they can keep me out forever. Now that's how it is. When we're speaking to us, we're conversing with God. But if I'm conversing with God over something that has to do with Pastor Chidi, and I want to bring Pastor Chidi into it, I have to speak in a language he can pick. If I let him make it better, when I'm speaking in tongues, my spirit is conversing with God. That's why even me, I don't know what I'm talking about. That's my mind. So interpretation is a way you bring what your spirit converses with God in a language that is known to them, to a language that your mind and possibly another person can understand. Is it very clear to everybody? So go to verse 5. When this happens, there must be edification. That's why, look at it. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is that prophesy than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets, that the church may receive edifying. So it's only when we interpret that the church can be edified. With that interpretation, what you are saying in tongues is not wrong, but it cannot bless anybody. And so you see what the problem is. God cannot give you the gift of tongues and not give the gift of interpretation. What if you are speaking it and there is nobody there that can interpret it? And yet God wants this other sister to be blessed. So everybody here can interpret tongues. In fact, I can even tell you, everybody here that is speaking in tongues has interpreted these tongues. You just don't know that that's what it is. Amen. And every time I get to this point, I always like making it very clear that I'm not actually talking about literal translation of tongues. Glory to God. There is no school where you go to learn how to speak in tongues and how to interpret it. So every time you say Shangarabatoya, what you mean is the fire of God is coming. So any other thing you say, Branti Shakalota, what does it mean? The fire of God is going. No, sir. That's not interpretation. That would just be translating language. Language translation. Amen. And if that's how it works, it then means that all our tongues must sound alike. Do you understand? You know that different tongues is a very interesting thing to listen to. Some people you just see that they only just la 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 la. Just others ba 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 ba. It's okay. You get the point? And that's some you hear their own. Have you ever heard someone tongues and you wanted to laugh? Just that you know you don't laugh at spiritual things. It can really be off. But it's okay. Glory to God. The interpretation is not translation. Now, I've already shown you. No, look at this verse 5. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesied than he that is speaking in tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So you notice he was exchanging the word, he was using the word prophesy and the word interpret almost the same way. The reason is simple. We'll get to that shortly. Whenever you interpret tongues, you are actually prophesying. Because once you begin to take what is in an unknown language and saying it, you're actually prophesying. And you observe that everywhere in the Bible, people prayed in tongues, they interpreted it. I already showed you that Acts chapter 2. They were speaking the wonderful works of God. Are you following? Acts chapter 10 verse 46. We heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts 10 46. We heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. So they were speaking in tongues, and then what they were speaking for was magnifying God. Acts 19 verse 6 said, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Are you what I'm saying? So when they speak in tongues, they were prophesying. What was the prophecy? The interpretation to that tongues they were speaking. Amen. Now, do I need to interpret all my tongues? No. Tongues can just be a prayer language. You can just pray and identify yourself and you go. Are you what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that every tongue you speak you must interpret. Mm-mm. But if the tongues is something that will be beneficial to you or to anybody, it has to be interpreted. Do you know what I'm saying? I will just show you very shortly how to do it. So go to verse 14, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. 14, verse 13, rather. Watch this. First Corinthians, Acts, you're in Acts. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 13. I love the word of God. Do you? This is a very interesting aspect of pastoring, where you have to teach again and again what you've taught again and again to the same people again and again so they can understand it again and again. So before you live your life and die, you must have heard me teach on this subject at least 1,000 times in your lifetime. Glory to God. And you have to enjoy all of them. Because every time that teaching comes, clarity comes with it. It becomes clearer. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. This verse is actually the key to interpretation of tongues. Let him that prayeth in tongue pray that he may interpret. Go back, come on, go to 13. I didn't ask you to come here. Pray that he may interpret. And the word I like looking at whenever I come to this class is that word that. Say that he may interpret. That word is the Greek word H-I-N-A. Hina. It means, all it applies actually is pray in order to interpret. So what he's trying to show us is that we can be praying without the intention of interpreting, and it's okay. But Paul is saying, when you are in a Christian meeting and you are praying in tongues, pray with the intention of interpreting it. So I can pray with the intention of interpreting, and I can pray just because I just want to pray in tongues. But Paul is saying, if you are in a Christian meeting, so that you can bless others, pray with the intention of interpretation. It is very clear to all of us. So, I cannot carry this mic now and keep you guys for 1 hour here speaking in tongues without the intention of interpreting it. That way, nobody's going to be blessed. In fact, put up like NLT of this verse so that you see what I'm showing. We're going to read down a little. So anyone who speaks in tongues should also pray for the ability to interpret what has been said. So see verse 14. Why did he say that? Next verse. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. And I've explained this to you already. Verse 15. Well then, what shall I do? I will pray with the spirit. I will also pray in words I understand. So Paul is saying, if I'm in a Christian meeting, I will say, man, brother, then I must also bring it to a language I can understand. That's how we minister in Christian meetings. We pray in tongues, we pray in English. We pray in tongues, we pray in English. That English is, we pray we give the interpretation to what we are praying in tongues. Is it clear to all of us? And let me look at a simple thing here. The point is, when you're flowing in this utterance gift, one of the things you pay attention to, King James of this verse 15 said, when I pray with the Spirit, okay, is it King James? Go to verse 14. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, your mind doesn't know what you're saying. So you cannot actually interpret tongues via your mind. Your mind is unfruitful. Your mind is lost. I get what I'm saying. So what are you supposed to do? The same source of tongues is the same source of the interpretation. It's the Spirit. I feel what I'm talking about. So let me show you a very simple thing. If I'm praying in tongues, and I'm just praying, notice, it's not my mind praying. Let me even prove that it's not my mind praying. When you're praying in tongues and you say, Marokola Brakate Yaboshana, and I say, what are you going to say next? Do you know what you're going to say next? You don't know. You just know that if you open your mouth, something else is going to come out. Is that correct? Because why don't you know? Your mind is not involved in it. If it's English, you can say, how are you doing? What next am I going to say? I want to say, have you eaten? You get the point? But because your understanding is unfruitful, you don't really know the next thing you're going to say. That's how interpretation of tongues work. So when you're praying in tongues now, shapre kolo brakataya, where are you supposed to receive interpretation? In your spirit. So as you're praying, pay attention to your spirit, man. The first thing you're going to notice is that Either a word or a sentence or something is just going to pop up in your spirit. That's first thing. We're going to practice it very shortly. Just find that word pop up. Something can be anything. Now, that thing that pops up in your spirit, if the way my spiritual father calls it, the simplest way he gives, he said there is always a leading thought in your heart when you pray in tongues. That's a simple way to simplify it. A leading thought in your spirit. Just praying, shakaraba, lokoraba. Maybe you're holding someone praying for the person. And then something keeps coming again and again. That is God trying to show you what you're speaking in tongues. Now, what are you supposed to do? Open your mouth and begin to speak that in your head. As you begin to speak that thing that came to your heart, more will begin to come. Now, you don't have to think about it. Actually, you don't. So, I can only pray now that I just heard. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost, everybody. Just while you are seated, just pray. Shaman la baradele kromba te la sikarota. Shebebele berebedele pregedele brondele praketele ba. Pray, 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 pray in the Holy Ghost. Focus, pray to interpret. Shagalian grabate karataya. Bezizaben, krebeten, krobashinianda. Durebele gerebetimbro to kuberande la frianda kaya. Mezubrenda le freko tumbratela. Jebeleka kurande la krumbataya. Rebedigo lubre de le bregetila braga. Elandianda la broka. Hallelujah. You know, while you prayed, the word that came up in my spirit, I don't know what this is now. I just be hearing that word, alignment. To align. And then, now, if I want to go further with this, I will just, the one I'm praying in tongues, shagala bro katalaba. Oh, alignment. Alignment. And do not say, hallelujah, that what you're hearing and what you're doing, what you're being taught, is not working. You just have to align yourself to it. Align yourself to it. Align yourself to the teachings. Align yourself to the instructions. Because the answer is in you aligning yourself. And for a very long time, says the Lord, I've been putting this in your spirit to get yourself aligned to the instructions, to get yourself aligned to the regimen, to get yourself aligned to the things that you've been told to do. But then you've been going on and off. He said, as you fully align yourself, you will come into the full expression of all the promises I've made to you, because that's where they are. They are in that alignment that you are yet to give yourself to. Glory to God. Now, that's the interpretation of that tongue that we just spoke right now, that I just spoke. Now, how did I know that? That word came to my spirit, and I began, and when I heard that alignment, I just began to speak it forth. And I can tell you, there are about seven of you that what I said now meant something to. Yeah. If you meant something to, let me see your hand. If God has put this in your heart before, to align yourself. Now, this did not come from my head. I didn't say, let me forge. You get the point? This is just, sometimes self, it can be poetic. Especially when you're dealing with people that are very poetic in people that can write, it can be very poetic. It can be poetic. Hallelujah. The coming days are blessed days. They are blessed days. There are days when the glory of the Lord shall cover this earth. When the glory of the Lord shall cover this earth. There are days of expressions of the glory and the might of God. The excellency of the King being displayed that all may see. These are the coming days. There are no days that the church will sink deeper and deeper. There are days that the church will rise higher and higher. And so do not be troubled by all the backlash and all the attacks on the body of Christ at this point. Because if you check, my church, says the Lord, has always thrived in persecution. So these are no gloomy days. There are glory days. Things are going to get better. The glory of God is going to be unveiled to many. Because in the midst of all of this, when the devil thinks he's winning, when he thinks he's casting his darkness upon men, more men are rising. That will display the excellency of the King that all may see. Those days are here. They are days of God's glory, says the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Do you receive those words? Yes. Glory days are here. So, when we begin to go like this, you see, if I give you the opportunity now, which I'm going to do, to pray with someone and interpret your tongues. Now, pray for, not with now, to pray for someone. Because, listen to this, when I'm praying, if I hold Pastor Izu and I'm praying for him, in tongues. It means that whatever conversation we are having, I'm having with God, is about Him. So the interpretation that will come will be about Him. You get the point? And so, if you hold your neighbor and be praying, now you expect that what is going to come forth will be interpretation. When we be concerning Him, when that comes, it will edify Him. Not the song I'm hearing in my spirit. Blessed be the Lord God. Don't worry, stay on your seat. Just sing it, let me hear you over this place. Yes, yes, yes.
Blessed be the Lord
God,
Almighty,
who reigns forevermore.
Who reigns forevermore.
Sing it again. Blessed be the Lord. Who was and is, come on, sing it.
Who was and is to come.
Blessed be the Lord, sing it.
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty.
Who reigns forevermore, sing.
Who reigns forevermore.
Andy, come. Yes, Andy, come. Pastor Joby, come. Emery, come. Get a mic. Just come. You face the audience. Face the audience. Just pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Get a mic for them. Ooh, Sheberaka Lengra de la Crota la Baya, the Sonatengia de la Parataya. Blessed be the Lord. Mera de la Bashan. Meso, come. Almighty,
who reigns forevermore.
So they're going to take their turns to prophesy, to speak in tongues and interpret it. So get set. There's going to be a mighty move of the Spirit now. Once we begin, what you are about to practice, put up 1 Corinthians 14, verse 28. Tomorrow I'm going to continue with this utterance gift. I'm going to touch prophecy tomorrow. First of all, that's 14:28. Shebele Karada. Verse 29. He said, let the prophet speak two or three. Let your other put up like an out of this. Let two or three people prophesy. Let the others evaluate what he said. Verse 30. Quickly, verse 30, that's the next verse. But if someone is prophesying and another receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop. Then verse 31, in this way all who prophesy will have a turn one after the other, so that everyone will learn and be created. So that's what we're going to practice. So I called the four of them. I said, why did you call four of them? I just sense strongly in my heart that there is a word God has put in the spirit for us. They may not know it at this point, but it's there. Glory to God. Let's worship again. Blessed be the Lord,
blessed be the Lord God Almighty.
Shebela karabatule barakataya.
Who wars and these and these to come.
Sing it again, come on.
Blessed be the Lord.
The Lord God. Yes.
Almighty,
who reigns forevermore.
Who reigns forevermore.
One last time. Blessed be the Lord.
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Who was and is and is to come. Blessed be the Lord.
Be the Lord God Almighty.
God Almighty. Who reigns.
So give her, give her the mic.
Oh yes, yes, joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. You may have faced some troubles trying to practice this and then trying to do the deeds of the Spirit. And at some point you were frustrated. But I am saying, says the Spirit of the Lord, that this is inside of you and you express it so much. Go out, launch out, do the things that I have put in your heart. Do it. You have this thing and the glory of the Lord will be seen in your life. You have it. It's right there in your heart. It's right there. And then when I said joy comes in the morning, it's like this thing now, by the time you practice it, you become so, yeah, like the awareness, there's this awareness that will come with joy in your heart that this is for me. You will practice it, you will do the things of the Spirit, and it will come so mightily. Praise God.
Yes, yes, yes. Pass the mic to him.
Shepedon das Gabriel Dodove de Vela Sidalaidis. Cité Monsteve, La Dia Cisovera de la Nia Mascove. Fortified. For I have fortified you. I have fortified you. The directions I'm giving and I'm placing in your heart, I've given you that direction because I have fortified you to take that bold step. There is strength in that part because I have fortified you. You don't need to be afraid of anything that is coming around you because I have fortified. I have made you that temple. I have fortified you. No harm is going to come your way. That direction that I'm showing you in your spirit, I have fortified you. I just keep hearing that strong word, fortification, that I have fortified you. No harm shall come near you. No harm shall come near you.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes.
Yana nana mama hadi de belega de be yana nana mama masakroni velene mora iketi amarani abarada boshia karama sabrone ve. You know, the small things are not small actually. Eveli amarana mazule ekia vera akali abarotoma remene meshika tumarata kamaya egevreni amarono sokroni ambarata kaya ebeti akarano skene eveli igete ber Ranos kania akriana poroto remenesh kantembrata kambarato koya. You know there are no fears in this place. Ekeramos kene veradia kabarata bashataya. You know, tiny step by step, evelia tokoya. The big pictures will come. Evila namarane abaroko tomo shataya. You know, the things you call small, the things that you call small are actually the big things in disguise. Even the leadings that look like they are just little, they look like they are just tiny. Inside those small leadings are actually the big things. And you know, tiny stars plus tiny stars, you know, they will all form the big stars. You know, barana konia baratia. There is no need to be scared. You mania shatia. Just do the small things. Yeah, those things that just look so small in your mind, just pick them and just do them. Just pick them and do them. Those leading that look so tiny, they look so infinitesimal, they look like they don't even matter. Just pick the small thing, and when you act on the small thing, the big picture will come. The big picture will come. You know, don't look for the big picture. The big picture is inside the small picture. So just stay with the tiny stars, and out of that tiny star, the big star will come out of it. Hallelujah.
It is time to step out. Stop holding yourself back. Stop holding yourself back. I have given you directions to follow, and it is time for you to step out in that direction. And from there, I am going to expand you. I am going to make you those things you have seen yourselves to. to be. Rakiana marada banakia da barada balateya koba hade koba shanda arate to betra handias kombrania dalataya. I would cause men who seems like they did not want to walk with you before to come and favor you. Ekabarataya da barada gabalataya. And for a particular person here, engrambania shkumahandra halataya. God is saying to your heart, fear not. Fear, don't fear anymore. I am with you, and you would see my hand in every single thing that you put your hands to do. Those things that had seemed like they were not working in the past 2 years, they are taking a new shape. They are taking a new turn. I will show up for you. I will show up for you. Inabara satakabarataya. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Watch this. So, go to 1 Corinthians 14:29. What was the theme of the word she gave? She talked about joy and you should step out. Right? You spoke about fortification, the fact that we should take the step, there is no fear. God has fortified us for that direction in our hearts. What do you speak about? Tiny pictures. Don't look for the big picture. Look at them. Do the small things. And you spoke about stepping out too. Now, go to. That's why it says you should speak two or three. The other should judge. Verse 30, that's the next verse. Said, if anything be the beat another person, let the person hold his peace. Verse 31. Watch. For we may all prophesy one by one. Everybody will learn. All be comforted. Verse 30. To read me, everybody. 33. For God is not the author of God. So once we begin to flow like this, you will find without planning it the same flow of thoughts. That's actually what the Spirit of God wants to bring to the church. I didn't say this before. Because what do you want to say? It looks like I'm controlling what they were going to say. I know what I'm saying. The same flow of thoughts. Rendered in many words, some of them added more details. She said it's concerning the things of the Spirit. Added more details, but the same flow of thought. We step out, we take the step. Were you blessed this evening? That's how this is. And that's again to tell you that nobody is trying to forge these things. It is the words that is the same Spirit that speaks. God does not utter confusion. It's the same Spirit. Okay. So let's bless one another. Return to your seat. Get a partner with you. You're going to pray for this evening. Let's close with that. Please, if you're following this meeting online, pick a partner, pick someone. Maybe if you're following this online, drop your name on the comment section so that somebody can pick you and pray for you, get a word for you, and we communicate with you in your inbox, particularly your DM. That's what it's called, yet. Your DM. So we're going to have 2 minutes. You will pray in the Holy Ghost for that person. And then when you are done, the instructor should just be on the back so people can hear themselves. When you are done, the first person will begin to interpret what you prayed out in tongues for that person. Don't think about anything. Just pray. God will drop those words to your heart. Now, even your own personal prayer life, you do this too. Sometimes you can pray and pray and pray over it. Tomorrow I'm going to say a few things along this line too. I'll talk about spiritual songs. How songs come. You can pray and pray and begin to speak things out in the Spirit. For your own self. And even begin to speak and sing out in the Spirit. So let's get a partner. You pray for that person. Once you are done, you begin to interpret. It's available to everybody here. There is mighty, mighty interpretation. Friends should learn to do this. Husband and wife should learn to do this. Partners should learn to do this. Let's pray together and interpret tongues. So pray. We have 5 minutes. For us to be out of here. There's a song in this place. And when the time comes, I'm going to pick someone that has it already. Or someone already has it. Thank you. Whatever that you are getting, you give it. And listen, those of you that are receiving these words, this is not just a teaching class. I'm not trying to train you now. This is practical. So be a blessing to your neighbor. That's what I'm saying. And as I'm receiving that word, take it seriously. Yeah. It's time already. One person should go first. Then the other person should follow. Someone has a word about dreams. Give it. Some of these words will be instructions. Some of them will be encouragement. Some of them will be strength. Yeah. You know, you must be yielded to the things of the Spirit. Yielded. That whenever the instructions drop in your heart, you must be yielded to follow. Much more, you must be yielded to the voice of the Spirit. Be yielded to the word of God when it comes. Be vulnerable. Be that person that the word of God can easily convict. Be that person that the word of God can easily instruct. Be that person that the word of God can easily change his mind and change his direction and change his focus. Do not have a stubborn heart towards God's Spirit. Stay yielded. Because it is in that yielding and that cooperation with the Spirit of God that he will work out all that he wants to work out in your life. So yield to the voices you hear. Yield to the leadings in your heart. Yield to the instructions that come. Yield to the teaching of God's word. Yield to all the words just put in your heart. Yield to the corrections. Do not have a stubborn heart towards God. Because in yielding and cooperating with him, you are doing yourself good. He says, I have plans. I have things I wanted to do. Yield to me. Yes, the route I might be taking you to and taking you through might not look like where you think you are going to. But he said, just yield to me and follow. Cooperate with me and the things I'm saying. For in yielding to me, I know the way and I will take you there. Because I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts of good, peace, and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so yield to me. For I know what I'm saying. I know why I'm telling you to desist. I know why I'm correcting you that way. I know why I'm treating you this way. Because someone is saying to God, it's my own different. Why am I being treated this way? Why are things happening to me differently? He said, just yield to the trainings. Yield to the instructions. Yield to the things I'm going to tell you. I know the way. I know the direction. I will take you there and you will get there. So stay yielded to all the instructions, all the corrections, all the words, all the directions that will come. In that yielding, you will get to where I've ordained for you to get to, says the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God. Are you blessed? Glory to God. I said that is a song in this meeting. Just give Jesus praise all over this place. Let's call it a day today. Your money, come. Yes, come. Get a mic. Shema la karatea. Ooh, glory. Yes, come. You already knew I was going to call you. Come here, yes. Praise the audience. Get it out. Just pray in the Holy Ghost all over this place.
Rogada baba rada bala duzu vivi digli diga da ba shanje bele diga da ba rada bala da ba shati. As the water covers the sea, the glory of the Lord will be seen. As the water covers the sea, the glory of the Lord will be seen. I am the glory, and you are my temple. I am the glory, and you are my house. Shine the glory on the mountaintop. Shine the glory on the street. Shine the glory on the rooftop.
as the water covers the sea. I am the glory. You are my house. I am the glory. And you are my house. As the water covers the sea, my glory will be known. Shine the glory so that all men will see. Shine on the rooftop, shine on the street, shine everywhere that all eyes will see.
Lift your hands, let's sing that song with
her. I am the glory.
And you are my house.
And you are my house.
Woo, Shabbatata.
I am the glory. And you are my house.
As the water covers the sea.
Shine the glory.
Yes, it's okay. Yes.
As the water covers the sea. As the water covers the sea.
The glory of the Lord.
The glory will be seen. As the water covers the sea. My glory will be seen. Shine my glory.
Whoosh.
Everywhere you go.
Yes.
Shine on the rooftop.
Yes.
Shine on the mountain. Shine on the street. As the water covers the sea. Shine the glory.
Yes.
Cause you are my house.
Ooh, glory to God.
Shine the glory. Cause you are my house. I am the glory.
Yes, glory to God. Just pray the Holy Ghost with those words. Say, I will be the glory, I will show forth the glory. I am the house of God, I will shine forth the glory. On the mountain, on the rooftop, and everywhere. 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 Everywhere, that all may see. That all may hear and be blessed. I am the house of God, I will show forth His glory. That's a song of instructions this evening. We shine forth His glory. Because we are the house of God. That in our own days, as the water covers the sea, the glory will blanket the whole earth. Shagarabale karamandole brakataya dan sobalata. Meshilan kradela bratole payadara galeni andush. Glory to God. In Jesus' name we pray.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.